Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio, bringing you the latest news of the region. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is Wednesday, 28th of January, 2026. Tariffs enacted by President Donald Trump last year are straining Montana farmers. As Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler reports, producers are left in limbo as they wait for a ruling on the legality of those tariffs.
In April 2025, President Trump issued a slew of tariffs to catalyze new trade deals. The move led to increased costs and shrunken markets for key Montana agricultural exports like wheat. Montana producer Ben Peterson spoke on a panel organized by the group Tariffs Cost Us, which highlights the impacts from tariffs on U.S. businesses. Peterson explains the market turbulence has made planning nearly impossible.
Large corporations may be able to take advantage of this kind of volatility. Independent farms like mine cannot.
Peterson says for 2026, he's playing it safe. That means delaying upgrades for important equipment like tractors. He may even idle some of his land.
And that means I'm not making money on that ground. I'm possibly losing money on the ground, but I'm losing a whole lot less money than if I was planting wheat.
Trump's use of the presidential emergency declaration to set tariffs has faced legal challenges. Three lawsuits are under consideration by the Supreme Court. Their outcome will impact a case out of Montana, too. Members of the Blackfeet Nation filed a lawsuit against the federal government last year, claiming tariffs impede tribal sovereignty and harm their businesses. Co-plaintiff and state legislator Susan Weber says producers are just holding on.
Now we're just at a stalemate. We're just not doing anything. We're static.
The Supreme Court was expected to issue a tariff ruling last week, but Weber and her co-plaintiffs continue to wait for that decision. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
Travelers flying domestically will soon have another option for verifying their identity at security. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche reports.
Starting next month, those without Real ID compliant identification can go online and pay $45 for another verification process called Confirm ID. At the Billings Logan International Airport Tuesday, TSA Federal Security Director for Montana, Casey Worsbaugh, said Confirm ID is aimed at reducing delays and costs at security checkpoints.
One, there was a significant delay for folks who did not have those IDs, and that was being actually cost. It was a cost we were having to incur on all of our traveling public. So in order to adjust to that cost, we've unfortunately had to go to this $45 fee.
According to the TSA, 93% of passengers in Montana already use Real ID or an equivalent form of identification, like a U.S. passport, permanent resident card, or tribal ID. Other travelers can go online and pay for Confirm ID before their flights starting February 1st. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Montana's largest utility has released a draft plan of how it will generate power for the next two decades. It's soliciting public comments on that plan in meetings across the state. Northwestern Energy's Integrated Resource Plan compares different energy choices the company could make to power homes and businesses across Montana. Environmental advocates have voiced concerns over the plan, saying it favors more expensive, polluting forms of energy over renewables like wind and solar. Nick Fitzmaurice is with the Montana Environmental Information Center.
The majority of scenarios that Northwestern ran shows them heavily relying on their existing coal power from Colstrip plant and then building additional gas power and then eventually replacing Colstrip with nuclear power.
Nuclear is the most expensive power source. He says the costs would inevitably be passed on to ratepayers and hopes to see the plan change with public feedback. Northwestern Energy spokesperson Jody Black.
We want feedback from Montanans about what they are looking for their future, from affordability and sustainability to long-term system reliability.
There will be a public comment session in Missoula tonight and Helena and Bozeman next week. The nation's largest lobbying arm of the oil and gas industry is calling on Congress to shield companies from a growing number of lawsuits and state laws passed to make the industry pay for the impacts of pollution. Eric Galatas with Wyoming News Service reports.
The American Petroleum Institute's 2026 policy priorities include ending the expansion of climate superfund policies recently passed in Vermont and New York. Claire Dorner with the Sierra Club says these new laws simply say if you make a mess, you need to clean it up.
It isn't fair that big oil and gas companies are continuing to rake in record profits while we pay the price for pollution and lies, literally paying the price, and we need to make them pay for their damages.
Superfund laws have also been introduced in California, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, and New Jersey, but are not expected in Wyoming. The American Petroleum Institute calls the new laws abusive and is urging Congress to intervene to maintain U.S. energy leadership around the world. The Institute also wants lawmakers to speed up permitting processes in order for the industry to make investments they say would strengthen the nation's energy grid. But taxpayers in Wyoming and across the U.S. are already making investments in the fossil fuel industry. Tony Aguilar Rosenthal with the Revolving Door Project says as working families struggle with the rising cost of housing, groceries, and utilities, U.S. oil and gas companies currently receive over $34 billion in government handouts every year.
It's really important to not just make polluters pay for the immensity of the damage and the harm that they cause, but also to stop public subsidies, which is billions of dollars every year.
Dorner says the Institute's goal of blocking state laws that hold fossil fuel companies accountable is just the latest example of an industry kicking the true costs of climate change down the road.
They've known since the 1970s that continuing to burn fossil fuels is going to lead to disaster, and they actively lied throughout the decades to try to maintain the status quo so that they could continue making their profits.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Wyoming News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Montana's unemployment rate in December rose to 3.4%, but continues a streak of four consecutive years of unemployment at or below 3.4%. Governor Greg Gianforte's office announced yesterday. The state's rate is 1% lower than the national December unemployment rate of 4.4%. The news release from the governor's office reports Montana remained in the top 10 states with the lowest unemployment rates. The release says the state's labor force added approximately 1,150 workers over the last month, while total employment rose by 500. Meanwhile, payroll jobs grew by more than 2,000 in December, with the largest gains in construction and leisure activities. Avian flu has been detected in a backyard flock in south central Montana. YPR's Kay Erickson has the latest.
The Montana Department of Livestock reports the highly pathogenic avian influenza, or HPAI, was confirmed on January 21st in a backyard flock of chickens and ducks in Carbon County. This is the first detection in Montana in 2026. The last affected flock was found in Park County in October 2025. Migratory waterfowl are the primary source of the flu virus that causes HPAI and are often associated with spring and fall migrations. While HPAI can spread to humans, the risk to the general population is considered low, according to the Centers for Disease Control. But individuals in contact with potentially infected animals or contaminated objects are considered at higher risk of becoming infected. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
State education officials say Montana will again provide meals for children during the summer months. The Summer Food Service Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It offers free meals to all kids 18 and younger while school is out. Meal sites are generally located in public places where at least half of the children qualify for free and reduced school meals. The state is looking for community organizations to operate meal sites this summer. Applications open on March 2nd. Governor Greg Gianforte last year vetoed a bill that would have expanded access to free school lunch for students, arguing it was redundant with federal programs. A college in west central Wyoming has been re-accredited by one of the largest accrediting agencies for U.S. colleges and universities. Tuesday, Central Wyoming College in Riverton, Wyoming, announced it has been officially re-accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. The decision by the Institutional Actions Council of HLC will continue CWC's accreditation through the 2035-36 academic year. The college announced it was given a clean slate designation by HLC, which means the college met all accreditation criteria without sanctions, monitoring, or follow-up requirements. The Higher Learning Commission is one of the nation's largest and most respected accrediting agencies, responsible for accrediting degree-granting post-secondary institutions across the north-central region of the United States. What will winters look like in 2050? Jackson Hole Community Radio's Jenna McMurtry reports one atmospheric sciences professor says they could look a lot like this one.
Skiing this season has been less than ideal, with warm temperatures in the valley and frequent rain events at high elevations. That's what the average winter may look like in the next few decades, according to University of Utah research professor Peter Veals.
You know, there's a little bit left to be written on this winter, but it will likely land in the neighborhood of 2 to 3 degrees Celsius warmer than the pre-industrial average, and those have put it at one of the warmest, if not the warmest, winter on record in the West.
Veal spoke on Saturday at an event hosted by Teton Backcountry Alliance. He says resorts may invest more in trying to keep the snow they get or make. That could look like storing snow under insulated tarps in the summertime. Ski areas at higher elevation with north-facing slopes will fare better than others. I'm Jenna McMurtry, KHOL News.
That's The Worm for this Wednesday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have another episode for you. Early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.